Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the soul travelers. Good morning to the wanderers on that crooked highway. It is Sunday, July the 26th, 2026, and it is 1:43 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from those old strange places we used to hang out at, right, when we were kids. The beach, the wharf, the harbor, the bay, the sea. These are your Zero Hedge headlines, the news, quote-unquote, yeah, sarcastic quotes implied, as of, like I said, July the 26th, right around 1:44 p.m. Iran blasts freeloader Zelensky for ordering a deadly attack on Caspian vessel at Israel's behest. Well, that sucks. Machete-wielding Islamic terrorist killed by cops after deadly Berlin Pride attack. Holy crap. FOMO equals fear of momentum. That sounds like someone's afraid of falling from the sky. The AI CapEx bill comes due. Of course it does, because none of the numbers add up. Activists target WNBA player after she takes stand against trans agenda. What a fucking limited hangout. Why IPO booms rarely end well. That's funny. We're going to talk about, yeah, those booms coming up. ASU just made influencing a college major. Yes, we're at the end. No country for old trends. BTIG warns of more dangerous regime imminent. Oh my goodness. Now taking reservations for 2031 delivery. GE Vernova gas turbine backlog climbs to 116 gigawatts. Isn't that more gigawatts than they needed to go back to the future? Wasn't it like 5-point-something gigawatts? But they got 116. Imagine how many timelines can be changed. How many causalities rearranged with all that General Electric gigawatts. All those gigawatts. Hawaii's lieutenant governor indicted in biggest bribery scandal in state history, and she's going to be sent to a scantily clad jungle hell. Catherine Herridge uncovers shocking revelations about the Biden family. Oh, can we be shocked further? U.S. one-way attack drone found adrift in the Hormuz. Wow. We could stop right there. I think the entire, if you believe any of this Iran nonsense is like organic, I think one could contend that the entire U.S. foreign policy is adrift in the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. State Department issues travel advisory for Belgium, those fucking Dutch, right? The Dutch. Or is that, yeah, Belgium, the Netherlands, they're all the Dutch, right? Sunday hangover, 10 charts, blah, blah, blah. Big tech's AI reckoning this earnings week could decide the next leg. Ooh, the protein gold rush is here. Of course it is, because of Cflow. Cflow, spider egg gels, and butt plugs, and other types of technology. Cflow, spider egg replacement blood, and other tissues. Is the gold rush a protein? That's what she said. Turbulent juice, if you know, you know. France recorded 5,000 excess deaths during the heat wave. Now, that's a, I don't even know how to interpret that number. Meet Britain's new cabinet of fakers, fraudsters, and hangers-on. Wow. It's like everybody thinks that there's legitimate, authentic government. And all I can tell you is that there might be such a thing, and you'll find it in the eyes of Ted Bundy, who is dead. Two drones shot down over NATO airspace. Oh, my God. France orders largest peacetime evacuation since World War II as wildfires rage. And, folks, I will tell you, that should be the top story if it's true. There are a lot of top stories right now that should be posted. I've talked to friends of mine about this, and here's some really important information. Most of your neighbors who live in the real world are barely making it. They're barely paying bills. They are barely able to afford food. Most of your neighbors in the real world are just getting by. Okay? Yes, there are people closer to the top of the pyramid scheme that are doing better because, you know, when you get in early on the scheme, you do better. But most of the people you know are not doing so great. That's the fucking news. And it's not just about the daily price of gasoline. It really isn't. It's about the whole picture. It's about every medical bill people can't pay. It's about, yeah, a lot of student loan debt that will never be paid back. It's about people holding on to mortgages thinking that magically, just because the county says your home is worth $1 million, it's actually worth $1 million. And it's the same county that's too stupid to realize that, yes, maybe it can be made to be worth $1 million, but then at that point, $1 million may not buy what it used to. Oh, I'm sorry. Did nobody explain this to you? Yeah. That's the news, okay? The fact that reservoirs, not just in the southwest of the U.S., folks, you need to do some research. The fact that reservoirs are going dry worldwide, that's also news. Relevant news to your fucking survival. That's important. But the Iran war looks a lot like a lot of bullshit to cover up something else. It is, in that sense, this year's COVID. And maybe that was always a plan for them. Like, they were just going to bookend Bo Blimpdoc, you know? We had a make-believe pandemic at the beginning. We're going to have a really cool make-believe World War III at the end. Then what? Next topic. But those are your, that's your headlines, folks. That's the fucking news. I've spoken about this woman before. And I think she is still alive. The entry I'm going to read comes from Britannica.com. I'm not claiming that it's not owned by the Illuminati or some other secret group. I don't even know what is true at this point. But the entry I'm about to read is about a woman named Temple Grandin, who was born on August the 29th, 1947. She is an American scientist and industrial designer. She suffers from autism. And her focus, her professional work, has been in creating systems to counter stress in certain human and animal populations. Now, before we continue with this Britannica entry, I would like to point out that in a lot of ways, Temple Grandin was on the leading edge of a discipline that we're only talking about today because of the technological world we live in. And the reality is technology was developing and is developing. She's still alive. But when she was thinking about this, she wasn't necessarily thinking about technology the way we do today, and yet she was. What she was thinking about in a lot of ways is something called augmented reality. And that is, how can you introduce changes to the environment of a conscious being to convince that being that a situation is different than what they think it is? You see, the thing is, slaughterhouses, where they would slaughter cattle, pigs, you name it, had been designed the same way forever, with little or no regard to the fact that the cattle, maybe not as smart as we are, still have some basic instincts that something is awry. And because of this, a lot of cattle injured themselves. A lot of cattle panicked. Why wouldn't they? You're giving them clear view of what's ahead, and they're not even there yet. That would be stressful, wouldn't it? Grandin was unable to talk at age 3 and exhibited many behavioral problems. And then she was diagnosed with autism. Her parents rejected the doctor's advice to place her in an institution, and instead they took on the role of being parents, which I think is pretty cool. That's my own opinion here. She has several degrees, to include a doctorate and a master's degree from Arizona State University and the University of Illinois Champaign, respectively. I'm going to leave it right here. You can read the rest. So I was watching a TV show the other day. I know, that's wrong. I shouldn't. Dan, that's stupid. I know. We're all stupid right now. Get over it. And the show was called Ray Donovan. And I'm not going to go into the show itself, but in season one, at a certain point, a character named Sully Sullivan, played by James Woods, is in a situation where he's about to execute a woman. And the woman is panicking, and she's pleading, and she's saying, I got money, I got cash. And so Sully just sort of looks at her and says, okay, if you promise to walk down to the car and wait for us, we won't hurt you. And she starts walking towards the car, and he shoots her in the back of the head. And then there's that interesting case from Of Mice and Men, right, where George kills Lenny, and in the process, even though Lenny may have had an instinct of what was going on, George talks about the rabbits and the rabbit farm and how everything is going to be A-okay. And I brought up this example many a time because it kind of comes up in a Twilight Zone episode, one of my favorite ones. You know the one where the kids swim through the fucking pipe at the bottom of the pool and end up in Aunt Bee's magical apple pie land because their mom and dad are getting a divorce. Yeah, sorry. See, that's a case of the augmented reality not working. What you do is you get the fun aunt, uncle, frunkle, brother, dad to watch the kids, take them to a movie for that first visit, because there's always the first divorce attorney visit, right? They take them to the movie, they get to eat pizza. That's what you do. You change their perspective, which means also you change their reality. And of course, it's temporary. In the case of a cow or whatever, it only has to last a little while. Only until that skull is right next to the piston, and then it's over. And then there's us, you and I, brothers and sisters, and how we've been treated since 2020 during what I've coined and called the Boblimp Doc. This next article comes from NBCnews.com, and it was published yesterday, it was published and written by the Associated Press. Dateline Cairo, Iran reported no strikes overnight in an apparent break. Excuse me, I need to drink a little bit of water here. In an apparent break of nearly 2 weeks of consecutive nights of U.S. attacks and blah, 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 blah. Iran had a peaceful night, the health ministry said, Hossein Khamenpour. Sirens sounded multiple times on Saturday in Saudi Arabia, blah, blah, blah. Nowhere in the article am I seeing anything about sirens blazing in the state of Israel. And again, you think, Dan, you're hyper-focused. I'm hyper-focused on this because the entire narrative orients around the state of Israel, the whole thing. Netanyahu has been claiming that the state of Iran had a nuclear weapon since I was in high school. And I don't know how to phrase this, but I'm not in high school any longer. It's been several decades, shithead. So when people come back to me, I mean, let's get honest, let's be real. I'm coming up on my 40-year high school reunion. That tells you about how long Netanyahu has been scaremongering about Iran being a couple weeks away from having a nuke. It's absurd. Last summer, Papa Blumpity Blump claimed that we completely destroyed one of the magical mountains, right? You know that song, The Magical Pickaxe Mountain? Well, one of these magical mountains was destroyed, right? And all they had was dust, nuclear dust. But somehow we had magical special forces with microscopic arms that could pick all the dust out of the rubble and take it back someplace else. These are stories. These are actually fairy tales. In fact, in PSYOP terms, in Sovietological terms, these are the kind of crud fairy tales that you would have read in Pravda or Izvestia during the Soviet period. If you were a good communist living in the Eastern Bloc or living in Russia during the 1970s, these are the types of dumbass fairy tale stories you'd read about magical fucking nuclear dust and other types of bullshit. What is apparent, based upon the news of the last few weeks, and nobody really wants to talk about, is A, Iran didn't really lob any missiles at Tel Aviv or anywhere in the state of Israel itself, and B, it's off again, right? They turned it off. It's a magical switch. You turn it on, turn it off. You remember 2020? You remember how the COVID would get turned up, and then it would get turned down? And then, when they lost control of it, do you remember the George Floyd thing? And then it was about the election, the trauma, drama, Papa Blumpity Blump, you know, political erection. That's all of 2020 and early 2021. A lot of nonsense. It was on again, off again. If one PSYOP doesn't work, you switch to another. You know, it's tag team. I called it a Pez dispenser at the time, especially when it came to the little trauma monkeys, the little bits of op that they would toss at you. The dude running down the beach being chased by cops. The front loaders filling the skate park. Yeah, a lot of fucking dancing nurse bullshit. We all remember that, right? When I talk about this idea of doing the Temple Grandin, it is in many ways the big package. And all ops are kind of like this, right? Not exactly, but many are, in the sense that what you're trying to do ultimately is hide something. But in this case, what you're hiding is, let's be honest, imminent doom. Okay, it's not just like a false flag where you're simply trying to place blame where it's inappropriate. That's one kind of operation, a false flag. You make up a situation, kind of like what the Nazis did in 39, right? You dress up some Germans like they're Polish officers and soldiers. You have them cross the border and attack a German radio station. And whammo blammo, like the Maine exploding in Havana Harbor, you have your pretext for war. That's a false flag. But this is not like that. This is a Temple Grandin. And Temple Grandins happen. I mean, they're not... Think of it this way. You remember those various, you know, people who were destroyed by their pagers? That was kind of a Temple Grandin in a way. But more accurately, are all these people, all these Iranian officials who were wiped out with much of their families, if you believe the story, folks, if you believe the narrative, were wiped out with their families on February the 28th and 29th. And at the time, they were under the impression that we were still negotiating. That would be another example of a Temple Grandin, where you say, oh, let's negotiate, let's meet, we're gonna talk peace, and then you slit the person's throat. But you do it without them knowing you're about to do it. That's kinda like that. But in this case, you better make sure you can pull it off, right? You better be certain. It's sort of like that cow that goes down the chute, that one cow. There's always going to be one, statistically speaking. And for whatever reason, maybe, I don't know what the reason is, the piston gun fails, it doesn't shoot far enough, the guy shoots the wrong part of the head, And who knows, maybe it's really a cow that thinks it's a bull. And it knocks down the barriers and it knocks down the fencing and it basically stomps you to death. If you're going to pull a Temple Grandin, you only ever get one shot. Okay, you really do. You get one shot, and once the cover is off, once the mystery disappears, it's over. It's just something to think about. Next topic, though, right? Next topic. Is the Iran war on? Is it off? Do we know? Papa Blumpty Blump has declared you didn't really die in a war. This article comes from the Rolling Stone, but is posted on Yahoo News, whatever. Headline, Pentagon says some service member deaths don't count. This was written by Jack Crosby on Friday, July the 24th, just a few days ago. And I will read on. Soldiers die in war, but ever since the death toll in Vietnam broke a generation's appetite for war, the American public has been uniquely sensitive to casualty counts as a result of our military actions abroad. We venerate fallen service members as heroes, no matter how just the conflict they died in was, or good it was, whatever. But now Donald Trump's administration is reportedly trying to say that some deaths don't count. On Thursday, the Pentagon's official role of service member deaths as a result of the Iran war suddenly changed, with four names dropping off the list, bringing the total number from 18 down to 14. If this war is legit, that number can't be real, sorry. The New York Times reported that the change came as a result of a direct action, with the Trump administration declaring that four service members who were killed last weekend at bases in Jordan and Iraq don't count toward the tally of deaths in the Iran conflict, as they occurred after he had declared the conflict to be at a ceasefire in late April. I'm going to stop here. You can read more of this. We never formally declared war on Iran. An MOU is not a ceasefire. It's nothing. An MOU is nothing. The fact that two sides decide to respect it for a while, that's a ceasefire. But the MOU is just a piece of paper. It's not even an armistice. And I'll let you in a little secret. An armistice is also not a peace. So the Trump argument, the Trump reasoning here is completely insane. It'd be kind of like saying that after Nixon started serious negotiations to end the Vietnam War, everybody that died in Vietnam after like 72 or 73 didn't really die in the Vietnam War. And that doesn't seem reasonable to me. Maybe it seems reasonable to you, but this isn't even that. The MOU's garbage. This Trump logic is so insane, it's a fairy tale. You have to be, no, I'm not going to beat up on kindergarten kids. You have to be morally broken and depraved to believe this kind of logic. You have to be completely unaware of reality to believe it. It's a fairy tale. It's a complete fairy tale. And I'll tell you this too, whether the number is 18 or 14, that's a fairy tale also. I have no doubt that if this particular conflict is legit, that those numbers you can multiply times 10 and probably more than that, maybe 100. And again, you'd say, well, how can they hide that? How can they hide that? I think if you live through 2020, you've got to be confused. You got to be really confused. They reclassified the flu as the COVID for a year and a half, and you're asking me how they can hide that. You don't live in a free country, shithead. You live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole, and the year is 1975, and you're reading Izvestia because you think it's a little better than Pravda. You're a dipshit. Next topic. Oh, but I got a guy on YouTube. I know you do. And you'd suck his cock if he asked you to. Buddy. Next topic. So let's talk a little bit about something related to the military. And it's called intelligence preparation of the battlefield. And this is a process. This is something you learn. You learn it in the United States Army if you're going to be a leader, whether an NCO or an officer. And you probably learn it in the Air Force and Marines and Navy. And this is the process you go to understand the battle space, where you're going to fight. This is about terrain, which means geography. This is about culture. This is about resources, which means what does your enemy have? This is about deployment. Where did your enemy put it? Okay. This is also about something called high-value targets. Now, high-value targets change with the history of warfare. Classically, and this is still kind of true, the high ground is kind of a high-value area. It doesn't mean you necessarily want to sit on the top of a mountain, but having physical overwatch is valuable. So if your enemy has overwatch, you want to take it out. That's a high-value target, observation. And that's always been true. Now, warfare has changed because now with satellites, drones, UAVs, whatever, you don't need to be on top of a mountain. You just send a robot. You send a satellite over. You send a spy plane. And so a lot of that is different. But still, in the tactical sense, in the operational sense, it's still basically true. Command and control, and this was a realization, in my opinion, post-World War I, but command and control in all of its forms is a high-value target. An army without people telling it what to do is really nothing. And this is something the Iraqis learned during the first Gulf War. You take out their command and control, and all you have are hundreds of thousands of soldiers just sitting in the desert. So command and control, meaning radios, these days it's C4I, it's a lot of things. It's command, control, communications, computers, information, and the way that you exchange it. The internet, microwave, satellites, once again, fiber cable, you name it. Command and control is critical. You take it out. It's important. Now with drone, now another important issue in this context is logistics overall. There's close combat logistics, which is how do you take out a military's ability to support forces on the battlefield. But then there's big picture strategic logistics, kind of like that weird, you know, what was it, the Schweinfurt raid during World War II, where we wanted to take out all the Nazis' ball bearings, you know, kick them in the ball bearings, Schweinfurt, I don't know. And that wasn't really a very successful raid in a lot of ways. However, attacking German oil resources was smart, was kind of brilliant. In fact, in World War II, oil, the ability to produce oil, the ability to ship oil, became a critical high-value target. Taking out oil tankers at sea, critical high-value targets. More, probably, in retrospect, greater value than food. For today's warfare, everyone's talking about drones, and that's great. Well, let's talk about soft war, or specifically war related to computers and these drones. There are not that many places, and I've mentioned this before, in the world that produce CPUs. And I don't mean just CPUs for computers generally. I mean CPUs specifically designed for things like drones. There really aren't that many places in the world that do it, period. And so if you wanted to wage a war against an enemy that has drones, one of the things you're going to do is target their ability to produce CPU, memory, RAM, you name it, all major integrated circuit components of that technology. There aren't that many IT computer science freaks who know what the hell they're doing. There aren't that many with clearances, okay, that work in these places. So you got IT freaks with clearances doing computer science work. During the Cold War, our enemy, the Soviet Union, targeted our nuclear engineers. The equivalent today would be these computer scientists, and there just are not that many involved in this technology. In fact, many will probably refuse to get involved because, again, it's being used to kill people. So in terms of human intelligence, it's relatively easy to make up a list of targets, who you would target to exploit. And again, we're not necessarily talking about killing. In some cases, many cases, we're talking about espionage. The physical communication structure, infrastructure, which means fiber cable, satellites, and yeah, a shit ton of copper cable, even in 2026, these are also not everywhere all at once. In fact, one of the lessons of the Iran conflict is you don't have to take out that many communications nodes or radar systems to have a significant impact. Again, if you want to believe the narrative, the legit reality and truth of the thing they say is happening. Microelectronics. Dan, what's micro? Okay. When I went to high school, I took electronics class and we worked with resistors and capacitors and diodes and transistors. But they were of a normal size. I mean, I would have said back then a normal size, which means that it wasn't hard to work with them, to solder them, relatively speaking. Microelectronics are all of these same components, but they're much smaller. And it's not that easy to either work with them or to mass produce them. So there aren't that many places in the world, folks, that make these key components for microelectronics. And electrical grids are evergreen. As high power, as high value targets go, 20th and 21st century, taking out electricity is big. It was big during World War II. It's still big today. And there's other items too, but I wanted to specifically talk about items that you would relate to drones, because people have this idea that drones are magical, and they're not. Drones are highly susceptible to proper targeting of high value parts of their chain, their supply chain. The drone supply chain is in many ways very difficult, if not impossible, to protect. And at the end of the day, since people can cannibalize electronics, and this is something that's been going on in the Ukraine conflict, it, again, if you want to believe it's an organic conflict, this has been happening in the Ukraine conflict since 2022. You cannibalize electronics and computers to create new components, different components. All of this put together is to say that if you really believe the story you're being told about the impact of drones upon the battlefield, then it beggars the question, why the fuck haven't the opponents in this war started targeting the soft underbelly? Because it is. It's not just software or soft war. We're talking about IT techs and bros. We're talking about data centers with limited physical security and limited infosec. We're talking about a part of the logistical supply chain for drones that is vulnerable to a degree that almost no portion of a logistical supply chain has ever been. Because here's the bottom line. You might find a random jackass to whittle a spear. You're not going to find a random jackass to program these systems, okay? Or to manufacture the components. So I keep repeating this, but you don't have to hit that many places to cause the whole thing to stop. Okay, this is not the same type of conflict. You're not going to go to the Walmart and get either the employee or the components for building these things. It's going to be a little bit more effort than this. I think it's worth thinking about, folks. If you're going to get pulled into this discussion of drone tech as being foundational and a revolution in military affairs, then you have to at least ask the question, what does that mean in terms of high-value targets? And I don't think a lot of people, especially the talking heads on YouTube, have discussed that yet. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Change your mind. Don't chain it. Change your mind. Don't encumber it. Change your mind. Don't imprison it. Change your mind, don't chain it. You can figure out what that means if you want a t-shirt. So I've run into a lot of people over the last few years, maybe the last decade, who for different reasons, and I think since 2009 the reasons are pretty obvious, but for different reasons have sunk below the economic radar. They used to have money, now they don't. They used to call themselves middle class, now they're poor. And the stories are different in many ways, but they all have a common theme. And at the end of the story, usually, there's this moment where they say to themselves, am I a bad person because I don't have money? And it troubles me. It troubles me so much given the wasted years I was exposed to academia. It troubles me given all the bullshit that comes out of the Democrats and Republicans. It troubles me when you look at the prominent voices of quote-unquote Christianity in America today, that many people believe and support the idea that being poor, being in debt, is a moral failing. And that the banks, these institutions that are quite literally fucking you and your families to death, that these banks are moral fixtures. They're too big to fail. They must be protected. It is upside down. It is inverted. It is gross. Okay, I'm not going to read the article about bankruptcy. I'm not going to talk much further about this, but I just want to make one point before we move on. If you're currently not able to pay your bills, that's not a reason to be ashamed. Yeah, it's a problem, and you got to solve it. But if you beat up on yourself because you don't have money, you're simply internalizing a dynamic that is not something you came up with. It is something being fed to you. If you currently are in a situation where it's hard to make ends meet, it's not a moral failing. It's not immoral or wrong to be poor. It sucks. And guess what? It's better to have more money. I'm not a communist. They want to make everybody poor. But it's also not a moral failing to not have money. Okay? It's just something that happens. Throughout history, there's always been poor. There will always probably be people in society relative to others that have less. We've all, you know, when I was a kid, I was told about a society to come where virtually nobody would be without at least food, water, shelter. I mean, that was the story of technology in the future, right? If you got past a dystopian underbelly, which was also popular, and I think I was more attracted to it because I thought it was closer to the truth. But the popular fantastical optimistic view is that technology was going to make it easier for everybody, to include the poor. And there are people today who will gaslight you, who will convince you that we're all so better off today, statistically speaking, than our parents were. And I'm telling you, folks, one, fuck the gaslighters. They can go back, you know, whatever. They can go back to whatever institute they came from. So don't give the gaslighters any time. If they're trying to tell you everything's okay, well, you know what? It's okay to admit that things are not okay. And don't internalize this idea that because you can't pay your bills this month, you're a bad person, because I guarantee you, it'll simply make your situation worse. You need to liberate yourself of that. If what you need to do is say, fuck the banks, fuck the credit card companies, you should do it. I'll promise you right now, they got plenty of time and plenty of calls to make. And in reality, I think they've given up on collections for the most part because it's too fucking late. That's why my advice to most people is, if you're going to stop paying bills, stop paying your credit cards. Does that mean they're going to keep you from using them? Well, probably, but it's not going to get better. Or use them and stop paying and see when they stop working. You might be surprised. I don't know. I've been sort of dipping my foot into various issues concerning shortwave radio, ham radio, stuff like that, for the last few years, off and on. I'm not really super into it. But I did come across something from Hackaday.com from a couple years ago about something called long chat for ham radio. I don't know much about it, but if any of my listeners know anything about it, I would love to hear. Does it work? How does it work? Is it something like JSA call? Does it piggyback on JSA call? Anyways, just let me know if you've worked with it. And other than that, I don't have to tell you, I've got this funny video I linked. It's an AI video, but it uses Trump's speech, some of his speech, some of the stuff he says. And I think it's pretty funny. You can take a look at it. Yeah. So it is Sunday, July the 26th, 2026. And before I go, let me say this. You need to take care of your food, water, shelter, because unlike the credit card companies, these things do matter. You have to have those things. You need to look out for the people you love and care about. And if you have a pet, you need to do that too. A lot of people are doing what they've been doing since 2008, and that's abandoning pets, and it's sad. If you're able to take care of your pet, do what you need to do to take care of the things that matter. And in order of significance, pay the things that don't matter last, which is another way of saying that what I'm about to say is kind of bullshit in a way, but it's the truth. The truth is, I am looking for whatever donations I can get to support the podcast. I am coming up on another 6-month renewal. And well, I could just renew every month. Month to month is about $60. I think it's $70 now. To do 6 months, I think it's about, I want to say it's about 300 and some, and a quarter renewal, which is probably what I'll do, is about 170 for 3 months. The whole year is about $800 now, plus or minus. And that does not include, like, you know, IP addresses, I mean, you know, domain names, stuff like that. That's an entirely different issue. I'm telling you this because in reality, yes, I use the money in a general account to pay for everything, but in that sense, I am paying for everything. So you donate to me, that money doesn't necessarily immediately go to pay for any of the things I just mentioned, but it does go into that general fund, and boy, a lot of people, you know, yeah, let's leave it there. But before you do that, and again, I know I told you months ago I was giving up on this. Well, these have been a weird few months for all of us. Before you do that, make sure you've taken care of the things you need to take care of. And also remember, you're not required to. I don't have a paywall. I will never have a paywall. I say that with a fair amount of definitude. I'm kind of surprised we made it to 2026. I had a passport I got in 2016. Do not want to go into that story. And I never thought I would have to renew it. And the truth is, now I have to get a new passport. I never thought, you know, the U.S. government would make it past 2025, but it's still cooking along, cooking the books, making things happen. And one of the implications is, well, maybe there's more going on than any of us can conceive of. But the bottom line is, folks, there's a lot of things nobody ever expected, and they're just kind of happening, and who the fuck knows, right? If you want to donate to my podcast, donate if you want to. You don't have to. There's a link. The new sort of link has the term gingerbread in it versus the old one that said, I think, Dr. Freckles. Well, just treat it like the old one. It's just a different PayPal link because the old one got deleted. The old account got deleted. Anyways, it's July 26, 2026. It's Sunday. It's 2:22 p.m. Do you feel as if people are saying, go ahead, have a soda, take a walk down the street, go look at those flowers, make sure you stop by old Auntie May's Pie Factory, but don't go in door number 2, go in door number 1, don't go in door number 2. People across town are told the same thing. But they're saying, don't go into door number 1, make sure you go into door number 3 or number 2. Have a great rest of your Sunday.